in the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103, and we're going to look at the first 18 verses. And this is one of my favorite psalms. And then you get through one psalm, and then you have a new favorite the next day. So Psalm 103, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewardeth us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come now, thank you for this time that we have. Thank you for another day of life. Lord, thank you for this, thank you for your word and this example of praise. And I pray that you just be with us now as we go through this passage. And I pray that you will be exalted, and pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So here we have, you see under Psalm 103, it says a psalm of David. So this is a psalm that David had wrote. And he wrote many psalms, and many of them were psalms of praise and praising God for the great things that he had done. And this psalm in particular, David, he kind of hits every topic. And it's a high level of what life is condensed into. But in it, you see David, he's praising the Lord for the redemption that he had. His life wasn't just confined to his time here on earth, but the mercy of the Lord and the blessings, the spiritual blessings of the Lord would continue from everlasting unto everlasting. And so David exemplifies for us a pattern of true worship and true praise. He shows both thanks and praise to God for the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings. And so one thing we want to keep in mind as we're going through the psalm, you know, we need to be assessing, well, how is our praise to the Lord? And what are the things that we praise Him for? What are the things that we thank Him for? And we will touch on it, but one of the themes in the Old Testament, and we've gone over this before, is believers, we naturally forget what the Lord does for us. We forget those answers to prayer. We forget the small blessings. We forget the large blessings. You know, the children of Israel forgot that the Lord split the Red Sea, and months later they were complaining that he couldn't do something, and fighting the Canaanites was going to be impossible. And so part of praising the Lord, and this is instructed in all throughout the Scripture, but part of it is remembering what the Lord did for us and giving Him thanks. The other piece about praise is praising the Lord is what we're going to spend in eternity doing. And so if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 5, So in Revelation chapter 5, this chapter is depicting after the rapture, the saints in heaven sitting before the throne of God. In Revelation 5, verse 9, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And so you can read that entire chapter, but that is a big part of our time in eternity. We will be spending it praising God for His Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, shed His blood and redeemed us unto God, and that we could have live everlasting unto everlasting. And so these are some of the things we want to keep in mind as we go through this psalm of praise written by David. And we should look to replicate it in our own lives and remembering the Lord. Now, a brief context. So David, he is the one writing the psalm. And we remember David. David lived quite a dynamic life. He started out as a shepherd boy who was obedient to his father and faithful. And the Lord used him. There was an entire army of Israel, and not a single one of them had faith that God could defeat Goliath. But little shepherd boy David was the only one who had faith and believed that God could actually conquer him. And the Lord elevated David and put him in Saul's court, and ultimately he became a king of Israel, the king of Israel. And the Lord made many covenants with David and so on and so forth. Now, the thing with David, he lived a life, he was trying to serve the Lord, but David fell into sin. And so David, his life was very dynamic. He had the Lord's blessing, but at the same time, he faced the Lord's consequences. Our sin always has consequences, and nothing's clean cut. There's no Bible character that is, or Bible individual that is clean cut. And so David, he understood the mercy of God and God's grace, but also he understood God's righteousness and justness, and experienced the consequences of sin. And so, but David, as a king, he would lead the children of Israel in songs of praise, and they would sing these songs, and David would be the one writing them and leading them. And so as a nation, they would praise the Lord with some of these psalms. And so that is a context of where we're at right now. So we'll go ahead and jump right on in. And so if we look at Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." So bless or praise or adore the Lord. And so this is what David was doing. He adored the Lord. He praised the Lord. He highly valued the Lord with everything within him. And David blesses him. He blesses his name. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so first we see David, he had a high reverence for the Lord, and he understood that the Lord was the one who brought these blessings. The Lord was the only single one. There wasn't this person or that person or this. He understood that all blessing came from the Lord, and so David's praise was going straight to the Lord. He starts it off with blessing the Lord, and then right from the get-go in verse 2, he says, "And forget not all his benefits." So David, as he's leading this psalm of praise, he starts it off with, "Forget not his benefits." Don't forget what the Lord did. As I already discussed, remember the Israelites, they had a problem with forgetting. Multiple times throughout their history, they forget what the Lord would do, and they would fall back in their sin. The Lord would save them, would do a miracle, would work great wonders in front of them, and months would go by, weeks would go by, they would forget, and they'd go back to complaining. Does that ever happen to us? And that's something that is a principle that we need to take. We cannot be forgetful. We need to spend every day in thanks and remembering what the Lord did. And again, as we discuss, praise and thanks is going to be one of our slates in eternity. Now, David, he says, forget not all his benefits. In verses 3 through 5, he starts off with some of those spiritual and physical benefits that we have through Christ. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And so he's praising the Lord for what he has done for him. And so put yourself in David's shoes right here and put yourself saying these things, praising the Lord. He's the one who forgave us for our sins. He's the only Savior out there. There are many false gods, but he's the only true one that died and is living today. He was the Lamb of God that shed his blood for the sins of the world. And so praising him for such a something we should not take for granted. This should be the first thing we praise the Lord every day for, is that he forgave, as a believer, he forgave us our iniquities. He's forgiven us. Who healeth all thy diseases. Our spiritual diseases of sin that were corrupting us, the wages of sin are death. Sin leads to death, and sin brings death. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Where would you be without the Lord? You know, we need to always remember, where would I have been if I had never had faith in Christ and repented of my sins? But the Lord, he's our Redeemer. He's redeemed us from a life of sin. The life outside of Scripture is just full of sorrow and brokenness. There might be vanity for a time, but that fades. And a life outside of Scripture just leads to destruction. And ultimately, in death, can lead to hell. And so Christ, when he saved us, he's redeemed us for that, from that. And we need to be thankful for that. And then as a believer, as we're growing in the Word of God, well, the Word of God is what keeps us away from different sin. The Word of God is what keeps us away from the consequences of sin that ruin families and ruin lives. And so the Lord, once we had faith in Christ and embarked on as a little Christ, as a believer, we've been redeemed from that life and from the consequences of that as long as we adhere to Scripture. And so David is praising him for that. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The world and Satan, they don't have tender mercies and loving kindness. They're rough, they're rude, they're abrupt. But as the Lord, as a believer coming in, he's had mercy and grace on us when we're first newly saved, and gives us the milk of the Word, and we grow. We're slowly growing. And the Lord, he bestows that loving kindness and that tender mercy on us. It says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What does that mean? Probably the reference to the eagles, they molt and shed their feathers every year, and they have new, fresh feathers, and they're renewed. That youth is renewed, and the Lord, he renews us. And so David, he's blessing the Lord, and he tells us to forget not his benefits. As believers, we cannot forget what the Lord has done for us. He's redeemed us from our sin, and he's redeemed us from a life of destruction. And that needs to be at the forefront of our minds on a daily basis. Amen. Now David, he continues in verse 6. He says, he says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And so he's hitting a lot of topics, and here he says the Lord is righteous and he executes judgment for all that are oppressed. And praise the Lord for that, that we live in an unfair world. We try to have justice, but justice is not always dealt. But the Lord is the only just judge who will always divine and execute justice and righteousness. And he sees when we're oppressed, and he sees when believers are oppressed and treated unfairly. And so you look at David's life, how many times was he treated misfairly? especially when Saul was after him. He was being obedient. He was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Saul, you want me to play my harp? I'll play my harp. And that still wasn't good enough. Saul hated him, wanted to kill him. Well, as a young man, how many times did David think in his head, well, this isn't fair. I'm obeying God. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. And I'm getting javelins thrown at me. And this grown man is coming after me trying to kill me. So David certainly understood the unjustness in our world. And he wanted to praise the Lord because he knew that the Lord, he's the ultimate avenger, the revenger of sins and misjustice, and he's the ultimate judge. He continues in verse 7. He says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So certainly the Lord, with Moses, he made his ways known unto him. He revealed himself as a pillar of a cloud of or pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and had that direct revelation with Moses, and had direct contact with Moses. And so he praises the Lord for this, and then how he led the children of Moses out of Egypt and led them into the promised land. Now, the Lord, he continues in verse 8. Now, verses 8 through 13, he praises the Lord for his mercy, and he spends some time and he gives a lot of comparisons here talking about the Lord's mercy. So thus far, he's praised the Lord for his benefits of redemption, and he's praised the Lord for his righteousness. He's praised the Lord for his revelation. And now he's going to spend some time praising the Lord for the Lord's mercy in our lives. So David, he understood what it was to have the Lord's mercy on him. And he gives these wonderful details. He says in verse 8, he says, The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. The Lord, he tends to mercy. He tends to be gracious. Those are his traits. He doesn't tend to fly off the handle, and I don't mean to speak irreverently. But the Lord, this is what he is. He is merciful and gracious. As sinful man, well, we naturally are the opposite of that. We tend to be not merciful and not gracious. We tend to be quick to anger. And we tend to hold grudges instead of showing mercy. And certainly, these are the characteristics of the Lord, and praise God for him for that, that he is merciful and gracious to us. How many times have you, as a believer, we're always growing in the Word, and sometimes you can look back to 2-3 years ago when maybe you were a little less spiritually mature in a certain area, and you've grown in that area, and you look back and, wow, man, the Lord was really gracious to me. You know, I was trying to do my best or this or that, but I was in sin, or I was wrong here. I wasn't right here. And you realize that, man, the Lord was, he was gracious. He was slow to anger. He was patient with me for that period of time. And praise God that you've grown now. And so certainly the Lord, you can see that he is slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. Now, that is the Lord's character trait, but do we replicate what the Lord is there? Do we have those characteristics? Are we merciful and gracious? Are we pleasant to others? Or do we hold grudges? Are we quick to anger? James 1:19 tells us, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And that certainly can be a challenge. We naturally like to be quick to speak and quick to wrath. But the Lord, he's slow to anger, and he instructs us to be slow to speak and slow to wrath, slow to anger. And so we certainly need to mimic the Lord in this area. So we move on to verse 9. It says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. So the Lord does become angry. He has righteous anger, and he becomes angry over sin, rebellion, idolatry, unthankfulness, and forgetfulness. along with other sins. But in the Old Testament, that ingratitude, that complaining, that forgetfulness, the Lord hated that and would be so angry with that. And the Lord, Numbers, the Lord talks about being provoked by the children of Israel time and time again. How many times are you going to test me? How many times are you going to continue to be unthankful? And so how many times do we fall into that category? But David, he says here, he will not always chide. Not always chide. That gives the idea of not holding on to a grudge or anger, not continuing a fight or a disagreement. So as humans, somebody does something wrong to us, we're going to remember that for years. We're going to hold on to that. You're not getting away on that one. Not with the Lord. He does not always chide. He's not going to hold on to this. Neither will he keep his anger forever. And so certainly he will intervene and at some point let that go. Now, let's turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And if you look at verse 11, so the context here in Numbers is the children of Israel finally ready to go into the land of Canaan, and they send spies in. The spies come back. 10 give a bad report, 2 give a good report, and they're telling the children of Israel, it's impossible. These guys are big, they're giants. There's no way that we can conquer it. But Caleb was, and Joshua, they were the only few that had faith and said, no, if the Lord wants us to get in, we can get in. But the children of Israel, for the most part, believed the spies who said it was too hard for the Lord. And so the Lord is angered with this. And so you look in Numbers 14, verse 11, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? And so the Lord is angered that they still think that something is too hard for God. And he is angered with that. The Lord just delivered them from the plagues that he sent in Egypt through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And that was not enough to show them that the Lord could take on the Canaanites. And so the Lord is angered. And in verse 15 it says, now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard thee, the fame of thee, will speak. And so Moses, he begins intervening for the children of Israel. And so jump down to verse 20, and it says, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. And so here we see the Lord's anger, and he has righteous anger, but it doesn't always chide. We see his mercy as well. So the Lord wanted to kill those Israelites right then, right there. He was done with it. And Moses intervened and said, Lord, don't kill them. What are the other nations going to say when they see that you didn't keep with your promise in delivering them into Canaan? And so the Lord had mercy and said, you guys live, but you will never get to go into the land of Canaan. And we see right there a tremendous lesson that the Lord has mercy on us when we sin, when we fail. The Lord is gracious and plenteous in mercy, but our actions, our sins still have consequences. So the Lord has mercy. He had mercy on them. He did not kill them right there, but they still had to face the consequences. They got to live a full life, but they didn't get to go and enjoy that blessing in the land of Canaan. And so mercy does not mean that there will not be consequences for actions. And so verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Now verse 10, it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewardeth us according to our iniquities. God, he is holy and wants nothing to do with sin. All right, so creation week, he created the angels. He created Lucifer. All right, Lucifer had pride. Lucifer wanted to be greater than God. He wanted to have his throne above God. God did not have anything to do with his pride and kicked him and a third of the angels out of heaven. And then we go to Adam and Eve. They disobey in the garden in a perfect world, and God removed them from the garden of evil, or Eden. And so we see in, right off the bat after creation that God, he wanted to be separated from sin. He did not want to be with sin. And we are still, our sin has separated us from God. Now, he deals with us in mercy, and he does not give us what we deserve. And this is what this verse says. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Our sin, what is the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. All right? And ultimately, we deserve death and separation from God from our sin. Now, thankfully, 1 John 2 tells us that Jesus Christ, he is God manifest in the flesh, and he is our advocate with the Father. He is the propitiation, which is the means of forgiveness. He was our sacrifice. So instead of us having to die, Christ, he's died and he's redeemed us by his blood. Now that's only if you've had faith in Christ and repented of your sins. And so he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewardeth us to our iniquities. So spiritually and eternally in salvation, but often, sometimes he has mercy and mercy on us with the consequences. Again, he's the righteous judge, and he is plenteous in mercy. And so David, he's reflecting that the Lord has done this. A quote that I heard from a preacher that I've always liked, and it said, as a Christian, no matter what it is, it being the problem in your life, it is always better than what you deserve. And as a sinner, we all deserve death. We all deserve that separation from God. And praise the Lord for Christ's redemptive work and that we have that. David indicates here that we have not received what we deserve. Verse 11, he says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So we see that God's mercy is great and God's mercy is measurable. So as high as the heaven is above the earth, and so that is a distance that is somewhat measurable, but there's a start point and a stopping point. And he's describing the greatness of God's mercy. Now, we see here the first of three references to them that fear him, and that's a condition. And so mercy has a condition here. This great mercy has a condition. Those that fear God. Now, we've talked about the fear of the Lord in the past, and essentially, if you fear the Lord, you love what the Lord loves, you hate what the Lord hates. Lord hates sin, you hate sin. The Lord loves when we keep his word, we love to keep his word. And then we spend time praising him and thanking him. And that is a high level, the fear of the Lord. And so the individual that fears the Lord on a daily basis has access to this great mercy that is as high as the heaven is above the earth. And so, fearing the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? We're going to see this two more times in this passage, and this is a condition for this, but we have to always assess, do we live a life that fears the Lord? Do we care what the Lord says? All right, so the Lord has given us his word and is very clear on many things, and do we live our life in accordance with his word? Are we always measuring ourselves up according to the Word of God? And that is the fear of the Lord. And in doing that, we have access to this mercy. Now, verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. All right, so God's forgiveness here, or His removal of our sins, He puts them away from us. All right, so as believers, God's put our sin away from us. We've been, our account has been made clean. It's been purified by Christ's shed blood. And our sins have been, are not charged to our account anymore. And he gives this directional analogy. He says, as far as the east is from the west. So on a flat plain, if you have a line going east and a line going west, they are never going to reach each other. And so, likewise, once God has removed our sins from us, they are gone forever. They will never meet up with us again. And so we can praise the Lord for that. And so John the Baptist, when he first saw Jesus Christ, he was a forerunner for Christ, and he's on the Jordan River, and he sees Christ. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." John the Baptist was excited to proclaim that Christ, he was the only one who could take away our sins. And certainly when the Lord takes them away, he banishes them forever. Now, verses 13 through 16, David starts to transition into another phase of praise and thankfulness. And here he talks about the frailty of man, the frailty of life, and he takes this psalm in a little bit of a different direction. He says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." So, first he gives this fatherly comparison. The Lord is our heavenly Father, and just as we pity, we love, we have mercy on our children, the Lord does that with us. A good father knows when to discipline, when to extend mercy, when to extend grace. And we have that, only a parent has that understanding. So, you know, we think we can parent everybody else's kids, but each parent has that personal relationship with their individual kid, and each kid is different. And as a father, you know how to tweak and adjust the discernment that you need in different interactions. And so, this requires discipline. This, I will extend that pity. I will extend that mercy, that grace. And so he's comparing, he's giving us that comparison. And certainly our Heavenly Father, the Lord, He has that individualization for each of us. We are each His creation that He loves. He pities us like we pity our children. And that pity, that's to show kindness, forgiveness, mercy. And so, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So again, we see the condition here is for those that fear the Lord. Again, do you fear the Lord? Do I fear the Lord? Do we live a life in the fear of the Lord? Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And so this is an interesting statement, that he's saying, he remembers what we are. Well, he's the one who made us, so wouldn't he remember? And he remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Thank you, Lord, for remembering that we are absolutely nothing. We are just dust. Now, the Lord remembers that, but do we remember that? And so often, we all face pride, and we all elevate our pride, and we think that we are better than we are. And certainly, Lucifer, he took it to the max, and he thought he was better than God. And certainly, that's where our pride can take us. And but the Lord, He remembers who we are. He remembers because He made us, and He made us from the dust of the ground. He fearfully and wonderfully made us. Psalm 139, 14. But the key here is, do we remember? And so, thankfully, the Lord, He remembers that we are dust, and He deals with us. He could crush us. He could end our life. He could do anything. And we need to remember that because He does. But in His mercy, He does not deal with us. He remembers that we are fragile humans. He remembers that frame. He remembers we are just dust in comparison to Him. And so these are some of the things that we need to keep in mind. Now, 15 and 16, He reminds the believer of the brevity of life. He says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. So at our best, we are like grass. Maybe a flower, okay? And just like the grass and the flower, they flourish, they'll bloom. But in verse 16 it says, for the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. And so David certainly takes, in a human perspective, somewhat of a depressing turn here. We're just like a flower, we bloom, we blossom, the wind comes, it blows, and the flower is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Okay, David, thank you. and so, we spend all this time planting tulips, all right? And tulips are the worst because once they bloom, they are in bloom, and they are beautiful for like 5 to 7 days, and then they're, you know, gone. We'll see you next year. And so, it's frustrating with the tulips. But this is the analogy that he gives, is that our lives are brief. Job 7 said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. So Job compared his life to being like wind. It's here and then it's gone. And then James 4:14 says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so just like a vapor, it's there and then it's gone. And so certainly, David, he's reminding believers, life is brief. Life is frail. We are frail. But he doesn't end the psalm there, thankfully. In verse 17, he moves on. He says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. So yes, our life is brief. Our lives are frail. And our lives require the Lord's mercy. And so David, he's painting a picture of a person who absolutely needs the Lord in every aspect and phase of their life, who's dependent upon the Lord for redemption, who's dependent on the Lord for His mercy, getting through life and growing as a believer, and dependent on the Lord and fearing the Lord, trying to live a life of obeying the Word of God and hating evil, removing evil from your life. And it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. So the Lord's mercy is not just confined to our lives on earth from birth to death, but the Lord's mercy extends from everlasting into everlasting. It extends into eternity. Praise the Lord for that. And it says, to them that fear Him. So this is the third and final reference of fearing the Lord in this passage. And so, again, we need to always assess, am I fearing the Lord? Do I really live a life that fears God? You know, God, Your Word teaches this, and I have this prevalent in my life. You know, I need to do as Your Word says. Do we live in the fear of the Lord? It says, His righteousness unto children's children. So those that fear Him and live in the Lord's righteousness, it appears to have a generational effect unto children's children. And then he says, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. And so David, he's speaking of obeying, keeping the Lord's word, obeying and actually doing the word of God. Now, James 1:25. Says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so we see James, he talks about the blessing of actually being a doer of the word. So we come someday, we come Wednesday, Sunday school, we hear the word of God preached at different venues, but we cannot just be hearers, we need to be doers. And you know, I think you could finish every Bible message ever preached with James 1:25. Don't be a hearer, but be a doer. And then let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, this is at the end of Solomon's book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon, he's writing about life. He's writing about the vanity of life, and he's writing about the brevity of life, and he ends it with this. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so certainly, Solomon concurs with David that we need to, at the end of the day, fear God. Our life is brief. It is frail. We need to fear God. We need to keep His commandments. Those things need to be priorities in our life. And this is a point of application. How are we going to rearrange our lives to have those things as priorities in our life? And so certainly we have responsibility, and Solomon talks about the responsibilities and weights of life. But we need to, the only thing that matters is if you feared God and kept His commandments. And so how are we going to put those as top priorities in our life so we can live a life that does that? Because that's the only thing. We're like flowers. We're going to blow away, and the place thereof is going to forget it. And so as a human here, that will be forgotten. But what is not forgotten is how we fear the Lord. The Lord's not going to forget that, and He's not going to forget that we kept His commandments, that we lived the life of keeping His commandments, and certainly we will receive blessings for that at the judgment seat of Christ. And so as a believer, all we have the Lord's mercy and all this access to Him, and we need to fear Him. Now, points of application, things that we just need to think on as we move forward today, to ask yourself, do you praise the Lord for the blessings? Do you remember what the Lord's done in your life? Psalm 136, that's a message for another time. But David, he spelled out verse after verse different things that the Lord has done throughout the children of Israel's lives. And so he actually kept a timeline of the blessings that the Lord did. That's an idea. Keep a timeline of what the Lord's done in your life. And you can go back and praise God for this. But do we have a steady diet of praising and thanking the Lord for all that He's done in our life, for the spiritual and the physical blessings? Do we praise Him for redemption, the redemption we have in Christ, and for that mercy? And then finally, we need to think about, are we fearing the Lord, and are we keeping His commandments? Are those priorities in our lives? So some things to take away, to think about, and to try and put in place in your life. Anyway, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come now. Thank You. We thank You for this day and Your word. I pray that You'll just be with us now in the rest of the service. I pray that You'll be with our pastor. Just protect him and keep him safe. We'll pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.